Betting on sports can be hard, but hiring Morgan & Morgan is easy. Morgan & Morgan is America's largest injury law firm. They have over 100 offices nationwide and more than 1,000 lawyers. Their fee is free unless they win. For more information, go to forthepeople.com/bestbets or dial pound law, pound 529 from your cell phone. That's forthepeople.com/bestbets. This is a paid advertisement.
The numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Hour number two of a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV. I already take it as in, we appreciate it. Still to come this hour, Fezzik, Steve Fezzik, talking NFL with us. He'll be in studio. And of course, Dr. Bob on college football. Chris Felica standing by as well. Kelly spent the better part of the last two segments trying to find that Brentford bet. I think he gave up on it at DraftKings, the bet from Paul Carr, which was Brentford over a half a goal in the first half. Kelly found over at BetMGM, he found over a half a goal, I believe it was, in the first 15 minutes at 5-1. For those who are interested in that, Brentford, who has scored a goal in the first 90 seconds of four straight soccer matches in the Premier League. That's unbelievable. We get tweets at Beating the Book. This is from Primetime, Cowboys_Cubs1, who said, "Yo, welcome back, Rude Gil." I said I was rude for not thanking the crew more often. Now that you've given shout-outs to your crew, please demand extra segments from your guests right before commercial breaks. That used to be a thing where I'd be like, "Hey, you don't mind staying for a second segment, do you?" This is from Bill Hooker. He says, "Tony Bennett waiting until the 11th hour to announce his retirement pretty much allows him to pick his successor." That could be. That could be why he did it. It's an interesting tactic for sure. Maybe that was part of the master plan. And then New Jersey, New York, GV. Yes, good call on this. An old school Columbo bet on his way out the door from Jason. I used to call that, I used to say that was a staple of Jason's segment. We would talk about something, and then the last 30 seconds, a la Columbo, for those familiar with that old 70s detective show, Columbo would leave a room, and then just before he left the room, he would turn back, and he'd say, "Yeah, one more thing, just one more question." And that's what Jason did with his bet on Evan Williams to win Defensive Rookie of the Year at 45-1. That was his play. Let us go to, who knows, parts unknown in the United States, because he's always doing Big Noon Saturdays college football. It's the Bear, Chris Felica, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. He's at Fox Sports. He's also the emperor of the Bear Bets podcast empire. That's why, you know, that's when you're the head of the empire, you're the emperor. It's Chris Felica, everybody. Where are you, Chris?
I am at the lovely Spring Hill Suites in Bloomington, Indiana right now. Sorry, the internet connection is not working, so everybody could enjoy my present from last week when we were in Provo with my Jake Rutzloff BYU T-shirt on. So I wore it just for you, Gil.
Thank you.
I did not get to display it. There will be another time in the future.
Rain check. We want to see that T-shirt. And you're allowed to say it, Chris. I know you got a little scared to say it right there. You're allowed to say it.
All right. Yeah, he's been very open about it. There was that article that came out. He's like, "I want." It's almost like say my name. I'm proud of it. I embrace it. Unlike your guy Eli Holstein.
That's right, Eli Holstein. Not really ready to embrace, I've noticed. All right, so you're there for Nebraska and Indiana, 5-1 Cornhuskers against the undefeated 6-0 Indiana Hoosiers. Who you got in this one, or at least to the extent you're allowed to talk about it? Who you got?
Here? I can talk about it however the heck I want to talk about it.
Okay.
It's amazing because I like Nebraska in this game. I'm a little worried. You don't have to apologize for winning. I mean, it's hard to win. But if you look at Indiana, who they have played and beaten so far, FIU, Maryland, Northwestern, Charlotte, UCLA, and Western Illinois, none of them have a winning record. Most of them of the FBS schools have an NFCS win on their record to kind of boost their win total by one to even get to 500. So I'm a little worried about the step up in competition. However, I will say, if you do like Indiana, I mean, it's been a while since Nebraska has won against a ranked opponent. You guys, they've lost 25 straight games against ranked opponents going back to 2015. But I think if you saw what Nebraska's defense did against Colorado, a high-powered offense early in the year, I think they can kind of muck this game up. Maybe we'll get a mistake or two from the freshman Dylan Raiola on the road. But I think 6.5 here with the Huskers getting points, I think they show up. I think they play well and do just enough to at least stay within the number.
Okay. Taking the Huskers plus the points at Memorial, at the Memorial Stadium there in Indiana, in Bloomington. Okay. Since you bring up Retzlaff, can I just ask about BYU? They're 8.5-point favorites against OK State. Who you got?
I don't like Oklahoma State at all. I think there are problems within that team. I mean, they might be going changing quarterbacks. I think a lot of people are just assuming that this team is going to have a little bit of a letdown after the big win last week against Arizona. But they make big plays. They come at you in a hurry. They got their running back healthy last week. I'm not sure Oklahoma State is going to be going up and down the field on anyone. I'd lay the 8.5 with BYU if I had to play this tonight.
Retzlaff, baby. Leaflet. Okay, and then real quick, let's do rapid fire.
We're going to turn the leaflet into a novella.
maybe we will, man. Maybe we will. All right, let me just ask you real quick, rapid fire, about the marquee matchups. Then you can give us your best bets. But Alabama-Tennessee, more noteworthy for who loses, perhaps, than who wins here. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I think it is. I think there's a really good chance, if you look, the loser of this game might not necessarily make the college football playoff. If you look at the schedules coming up, now I would still think Alabama will be in a decent shape because they have the win over Georgia. But if Tennessee were to lose, they got some games still coming up. They still have to play Georgia as well. Vandy certainly is no pushover. Like, a Tennessee loss here, I think, makes the Vols very, very trepidous to make the college football playoff. And I think the way their offensive line has played lately, and Nico Iamaleava has not been great. It's interesting here. I keep going back and forth in this game. I didn't play this game just because I worry too about Jalen Milroe and the number of hits that he's taken. I mean, he has so many more carries than their number one running back. In addition to all the time he's getting hit on sacks and such. So Alabama, I think, is a team in need of an idle week really quickly to try and get Jalen Milroe back, because I think we might be seeing a cumulative effect of him just taking hit after hit. Push comes to shove, if you made me pick a side, I take Alabama just because I do think they are the better team, and I do have concerns about Tennessee's offensive line right now.
All right, then of course Georgia and Texas. Georgia still with the one loss to Alabama. They're 5-1, and then Texas 6-0, the number one ranked team in the country. They are 4.5-point favorites.
Yeah, I played over 56 in this game. I don't know if it's still 56 or if that has moved. I didn't check before I came on with you. Let's see. I see 57 now. It's fine. I 57's okay. But I just think Georgia has not played their best game of the year yet. I would be stunned if we did not get Georgia's best effort tomorrow afternoon. And as good as we think that the Texas defense is, you got to look at some of the teams that they played. They've played Michigan, who does not have a quarterback and is a terrible offense. They played Mississippi State, who is terrible, probably the worst team in the SEC, one of the worst Power 5 teams, with Purdue. And Oklahoma, who is dead last amongst Power 4 teams in offensive EPA, and play with a backup quarterback. We think their defense is really good, but now they're going to be facing a Heisman-type candidate at quarterback with a bunch of weapons and a desperate team. It feels like a very high-scoring game here. And one other alternative way to play this game, and I wish I would have done it last week with Oregon and Dylan Gabriel, is kind of Heisman Trophy future. Take the quarterback. I mean, now maybe Quinn Ewers, because he missed two games, might be up against it. But if Texas is number one undefeated at the end of the year, I would like to be holding a Quinn Ewers ticket. If Georgia wins this game, and Carson Beck and Georgia winds up winning the SEC, they're going to be right up there as well. And I'd like to be holding a Carson Beck ticket at 20-21. So this might be one of those games where just kind of, if you're unsure, just go for the little bit of value on the quarterback that ultimately could win the Heisman Trophy.
And somehow Chris Felica still does not have a Heisman vote. That is one of the great injustices in college football history. All right, what else did you bet here in the last few minutes?
What did we bet? We bet Utah -4 against TCU. The number had come down, and I'm really not sure why. TCU is just terrible in the red zone. They turn the ball over at an alarming rate. And I think, finally, the conclusion of this Cam Rising drama and saga will he, won't he? Oh, he might play this week. He could. He's a true game time decision. Maybe we'll see him. I think that kind of wore on the team. And I think now finally that we have some closure to it, I think we're going to get, I think we're going to see the best game from Utah that we've seen this year. And that, 2022 college football playoff title game appearance from TCU feels like eons ago and just flukier and flukier. So I laid four with Utah. I took Hawaii plus 19 against Washington State. I don't know how many people paid attention to that game against Fresno State last week. Wazoo needed a late pick six to kind of to take the lead in that game in the fourth quarter. They didn't have 300 total yards in the game. Their last three games have been one score games. I'm not sure they're really equipped right now to blow someone out, even a really lowly Hawaii team that's making the trip to the mainland. I gave you Nebraska. What is the Ball State number? Is that still 25.5? Ball State, Vandy, 26.5, even 26 better.
26.5, yeah.
Yeah, I would think of taking Ball State. Actually, I would take Ball State at 26.5 if I took them at 25.5. You look at the last three games for Vandy, you nearly pulled off a road upset at Missouri, losing in overtime. You beat Alabama, and then you upset Kentucky and Lexington. Next week, the Commodores have Texas coming in to Nashville. Diego Pavia is not 100%. It's only human nature that you're going to fall a little bit flat at some point. And this has all the earmarks of kind of a rotten sandwich type game against a bad Ball State team. Vandy won't lose, but I don't know if I'll want to lay close to four touchdowns, especially if you've got a backup quarterback in the game. And I took Charlotte plus 17 against Navy. Again, this is purely a situational play. Navy's got Notre Dame next week. I can easily see Navy kind of sleepwalking through this game against Charlotte, which I think is just good enough to score a couple of points. So those are the games. Clemson to win the ACC would be a future that I would consider playing as well. If Miami were to lose this week, that fight will drop.
Very thorough. Chris Felicki. You know how we always joke about like players who like seem like they've been at college for like 7-8 years? Cam Rising, eligible for an eighth year.
Oh, God.
Yes. Good God is right. Thank you, Chris. Enjoy the games.
Take care.
Steve Fezzik next, right here on A Numbers Game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Back on A Numbers Game live from Circa Resort Casino in downtown Las Vegas. It's Gil Alexander. Always appreciate you making us part of your Monday through Friday between 10 to noon Eastern, 7 to 9 Pacific. And as always, as part of Football Friday, hour number two, after Felica, before Dr. Bob, Steve Fezzik joins us in studio. Today is no different. You can follow him on Twitter at Fezzik Sports, at your own peril, by the way, I should add. He's not very nice on Twitter, but in real life, he's actually a decent human being. It's Steve Fezzik, everybody, the only back-to-back winner of the Hilton Super Contest. How are you, sir?
The pioneer, the bear, the actuary. What more could you want on your Friday morning?
That's right. A bear, an actuary, and a pioneer walk into a bar together. What happens? Hey, will you take a listener question before we get into all that you wanted to talk about?
Absolutely.
Because I think this is a good one. This is from good friend Chillionaire. He actually asked this last hour, and I promised I would pass it on to you. He said Gil had a question for Fezzik, if you don't mind asking if he can explain how he determines NFL power rankings and the corresponding spreads for matchups. Thank you and enjoy the weekend, guys.
Yeah, so it's complicated, but to simplify, I've got a number that, and by the way, every power rating for an average team should be zero. So it used to be like college team, their power rating for Ball State, 64. What does that mean? So an average team is a zero. Best team right now would be like Detroit Lions, 5.5. Kansas City Chiefs, 5.5. If they played an average team, that would be a zero on a neutral. I take the difference. It'd be 5.5. Take the difference between the power ratings, adjust for home field, which is not the same for all teams.
Right.
Like this week, I would give Jacksonville 1 for a London home field advantage, by example. How do I actually set those numbers? I look at the underlying metrics, like the yards per play, et cetera. I look at recent injuries, any quarterback changes, like the New Orleans Saints are like a minus 5.5 in my ratings before that game last night. So they're literally the worst team in the league right now after last night because they don't have Carr.
Yeah.
And they've got so many other injuries. And then to set an actual line, there's certain situations that you have to be aware of, you know, good situations, bad situations. But my starting point is always the difference between the power ratings and then adjust for home field. And usually most of the power ratings are based on like the underlying statistics. But if I'm way off market, I will adjust back to the market. I won't be just on a complete and utter island. I would say the one team I'm probably more optimistic than most would be the Eagles. I'm higher on the Eagles. Like, mm-hmm. I think the Eagles will win the division, not your Washington football team.
I was going to save this for later, but let's just, since you bring up the Eagles, that is your best play of this week, straight bet?
Yes. So the Eagles laying three. I think you can get that over at the Hall of Fame bookmakers over at the South Point. So you can go and play right there, minus 110. You don't want to lay it's fine to lay up to minus 115. My handicap, my power ratings make it 5. So that's one handicap. My second power rating would be comps. So the Giants were just playing the Bengals, all right? The Bengals were laying 4.
The transitive property.
Transitive property.
That's right.
So I have Eagles greater than Bengals. Mm-hmm. Many people have them comparable. Let's say they're comparable, all right? So if the Bengals were laying 4, all right, at New York Giants, then the Eagles should be laying 4 at the New York Giants, not laying 3. Now you could say, well, wait a minute, Fez, they get Neighbors back, their gifted wide receiver. Yeah, but they lost their left tackle, the Giants did. And also Dexter Lawrence is banged up. So the injuries at best is a push for the Giants. And from the transitive property, you land on 4 from my power ratings, minus 5. So I'm going to lay -3. I think Crackman likes that as well.
All right, Eagles -3 at the New York Giants. That's Fezzik's play of the week. He will have a play for next week, the look ahead, which he has done every week that he's come on the show here. We'll get to that momentarily. But you wanted to comment on something we were talking about earlier here, where someone tweeted in, and I always say this that from a psychological standpoint, not playing something that ends up winning somehow takes a bigger toll than actually losing something that you're involved in. You have a problem with that.
Well, I agree with you directionally in terms of psychologically.
Yes, that's all we're saying.
Oh, okay. All right, yeah. Fair enough. Because obviously when you lose a bad beat, that's a 2.1 unit swing.
Yes.
When you miss Gilly's 2 winners on 10, well, that's like a 1.8. You know, this is a hard thing. So even missing like a plus 200 winner on your tennis, that's only costing me 2 units. A bad beat cost me 2.1. By the way, I was thinking how hard it is to be a professional sports bettor. So last night I went out to dinner with family and had an early dinner at 6:15, went right to sleep. And Gilly texted me, I bet you didn't bet my tennis winners
this morning.
Did you?
Yes. I can tell when you guys don't play them because there's not a uproar of excitement, right? So I'm
Think about this. I just imagine this. I shut it down Friday at 6 p.m. on Thursday at 6 p.m. until Friday morning. We work 24/7. I mean, it's crazy.
I don't know. I don't know if I should text them anymore to you guys. I don't know.
I just I don't care about the sushi spot. Just send the tennis. Send me the tennis.
Okay. Let's do this one though, because I think you and I are super simpatico on this. I have talked about this from time to time on this show. Haven't in a while though, but it has come up several times during the years. And that is the notion of, Because Bob has an opinion on this. So oftentimes Dr. Bob will come on and he'll be like, oh, all the lucky stuff evens out. And I contend that if you are good, right, I have contended this before, if you're good at what you do, if you genuinely have an edge in a particular sport, that it does not even out. You agree?
Of course not. Because if I'm really good, I'm going to win 54 to 55% of my bets. So, for every 100 bets I have 55 of every right sides. We'll say I have 55 right sides and 45 wrong sides. 55 is a lot bigger than 45. So I'm going to get, if 10% of them go south through nefarious methods, I'm going to lose 5.5 of those. I'm only going to lose 4.5 on the other side. And that's just with the random luck. Also, sharps tend to play more unders and more underdogs. Last time I checked, underdogs and unders don't do well in overtime. So every time a game goes overtime and you lose an under, that's going to be a bad beat to the sharps. And I mean, and that's crushing for people who play basketball totals that primarily play unders. I mean, that's and overtime's an enormous hit each and every year.
Overtime where underdogs go to die. As they
absolutely.
Say.
Yes.
I actually think that's a pretty fascinating subject. And again, I haven't brought it up in a long time, but I really believe that also. And you know it. You broke it down beautifully mathematically, that mathematically it makes sense. But also just, anecdotally, when you think about it, you're like, oh, if you're being honest about it, there are sports where, like the NFL is plinko. I would never tell you that it doesn't even out in the NFL.
Total last night. Okay, the side wasn't plinko, but that total was random.
Yes. Right. But there are sports that you can have an expertise in where you think about it. And if you're being honest, and you should be honest, you should always acknowledge when you're getting the best of it luck-wise. But the ones that go against you when you're good are absolutely more common.
You know, and Charlie J, very gifted hockey bettor, part of the Tuesday group for years and years. I haven't spoke to Charlie for a few years.
Does the Tuesday group still exist, by the way?
No, disbanded.
It, it did?
Yeah. Well,
how many years ago did it disband?
I was like, I stopped going like 15 years ago. Yes.
So as far as you're concerned, that's when it disbanded?
Well,
I'm sorry, interrupted. Go ahead.
But Charlie brought up an excellent point because he played a lot of overs. And he's like, you guys are like square sharps in many ways because you don't want to, you want to feel every, you know, fumble return for touchdown, every kickoff return for touchdown is just, you know, a completely random event. And last time I checked, will there be a defensive touchdown or special teams touchdown is always, you know, the no is minus 300, but the yes is plus 250. That means if you play, you know, 10 games, you know, three of these,
it will happen.
Three of these suckers is going to happen. So you need to adjust 2 to 3 points each and every game for such an occurrence.
Yeah, we almost We almost had two of them last night. One got called back from an offside penalty. Okay, so how is your season going so far? By the way, the NFL, you doing okay?
The NFL has been bad actually. Below 500.
Oh, really?
College football. You know, this is an amazing thing. College football has been good.
Yeah.
Despite the worst money line performance you would ever imagine. So I mean, okay.
Can I ask you about that? Why? Yeah. Okay, so you lost on Louisiana Tech the other night. It was a big money line favorite again.
Yes.
You're most famous for Purdue as a number one seed, minus 4,500, I believe it was.
Yes.
Taking on Fairleigh Dickinson. We all know Fairleigh Dickinson upset the second 16-1 upset in the history of March Madness. You keep doing it. It's almost like you lean into it, and you're almost more adamant about publicizing it when you do this on Twitter. Why would that be?
Well, I'm stubborn because the math, and famously with the Purdue loss, Elihu Feistel came on and said, oh, yeah, I love that play. I bet it as well.
Yes.
All right. So number one seeds.
If Elihu says it's good, then it,
well, the
I'm
number one
Elihu.
Seeds is irrelevant. It's just a matter of, you know, looking back historically at teams in the tournament that are 23-point favorites, because you're never going to get a flat 23-point favorite in a tournament. But I will say this. I've been thinking about this. I'm going to stop doing it in college football because I think the historical on how well a team covers laying 12 says it's a good bet, like on Louisiana Tech. But with the transfer portal and the uncertainty of how good the teams are, I think there's more volatility than there has been in the past. And because of that, I'm going to pump the brakes. I'm going to say part of it is like no one has been better with college football season wins than Dr. Bob.
Yeah.
And he has La Tech over 5. And I actually said to myself, boy, he needs this game. He's not going to win La Tech if they don't win this game. And I know he's going to win because he wins every year. So I was like, La Tech's going to win this game. And then, you know, they were like 95% lining up for basically an extra point on a game-winning field goal. So, hey, the karma, bad karma.
When we come back, Steve's look-ahead play for Week 8. Also, maybe some advice for Kelly's 9-1 millions quarter entry. That's next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Are you ready to try something different? Sign up to start playing the ponies on First Bet. First Bet is U.S.-based and offers wagering on hundreds of races every day from across the country and around the world. Sign up at firstbet.com. That's the number one, stbet.com. Use promo code VSIN200 to claim a 20% rebate for your first 60 days, up to $200. Head to firstbet.com today. Skill Alexander, Steve Fezzik, kind enough to hang with us for a second segment. We've got a lot to get to. I just want to review something you said because I don't want to gloss over it. First of all, we caught that you blamed that Louisiana Tech loss on Dr. Bob.
You picked up on that.
Kelly picked up on it more than I did. He's very right. But just to clarify, so you, because of this variance in college football, you might ratchet back these big money lines in that sport specifically?
Yes. People think I'm completely and utter old guy, get off my lawn, inflexible. And nothing is further from
not
the truth.
You.
I'm the first guy to say I make all kinds of mistakes.
Not
I
you.
Mean, and I can adjust. And I pride myself on that,
yes.
Reinventing myself. Yes.
We did get one question on Twitter also. This is addressed to me, Jordan Pagel. Are we getting an apolitical election betting segment this year? We've already done one. We will absolutely do at least one or two more here before the election. You are doing some election stuff on your own.
We're having a lot of fun. BetUS, we did two election shows. So Kyle Hunter, Doug Kazarian, and I. And based upon the past, basically the election comes down to four of the swing states. Mm-hmm. And very likely whoever wins Pennsylvania is going to win this election. Should be very close.
Should be very close. Can't wait to talk more election betting. We've done great doing it through the years here on the Numbers Game. So, yes, Jordan, we absolutely will. I mentioned before we get, because you have a teaser you want to give out, and then we want to talk about week eight. You have a look ahead. But before we do that, Kelly is 9-1. It is a 5-week quarter in millions, in circa millions. He's 9-1. He's doing it on his conviction. You had an interesting bit of, you have an interesting bit of advice for anyone like Kelly who is at or towards the top of the leaderboard, even 2 weeks into a 5-week.
Yeah, so this is going to be controversial because Kelly is kicking butt.
Yes.
And the sharps are not. The sharps are struggling. And the sharps that play the best numbers, like Jacksonville +2, like Tennessee +1, famously last week, they all got punked. They all did lousy. So they're not in contention. So Kelly likely should consider pivoting and playing the value that's being offered in the contest, submitting as late as possible. The reason being, the people he's competing against, they're not going to listen to me. Fezzik's an idiot. He's 5-5 on his 10, and I'm 9-1. I'm going to take the five teams I like the best, and regardless of what the point spread being offered is.
So what you are suggesting, another way to say it is, Kelly, who has gotten to 9-1 by his own conviction, ought to pivot his strategy to now just take the best of it, because and not go by the conviction that brought you to this dance this far, 9-1, because the people who are behind you are unlikely to ever catch you the way that they bet, right?
Yes.
If you bet that way,
and the people
if
who
you
are,
bet the same way they
and
do.
The people that you're tied with are not going to play that way. They're
right,
not going to take advantage.
Right. They're going to still play by their conviction.
But I'd like to say tweak his strategy. I don't want to go completely against
right.
it. I want to like it be a hybrid where maybe he will take his two or three favorite picks of the week and then take two pure value picks.
So I think this is fascinating because I get what you're saying. And I understand logically that your strategy here is probably the right one, except for the fact that we all have human brains.
Mm-hmm.
And the problem is that Kelly and anybody else who's 9-1 or 10-0, they will hate themselves if they end up losing now going to your strategy. When if they had stayed with their own conviction, they would have ended up winning.
Exactly. However, the second, like, let's say he's in contention the last week and there was odds. Will Kelly Bidden win the quarterly
yes.
prize? The second they saw the five best math plays being submitted by him, his odds would adjust in his favor.
Right.
Versus playing his five favorite plays kind of regardless of what the spread dealt.
So then let's split the difference then. So then isn't the proper way to do this? Kelly should probably play the way that he wants to this week and maybe a hybrid the following week and then pivot to your strategy if he is still up towards the top the last week.
I think he should pivot now.
But, you think he should.
But that's how I've been successful in my contest. So I probably have a little bit too much of a bias towards that because I've been so good with those contests doing just that over the years.
By the way, you distinguish between Kelly and the sharps, we noticed. And here's Kelly, live shot of Kelly here and the square bears. There he is.
You know, I got to tell you, the square bears, like anyone who's not following, there's a whole bunch. I'm not going to name them, but I'll name mine. Like I'm on podcasts and we've done terrible picking against the spread. And I'm not, and if you're listening to a whole bunch of these guys, the number one thing, and I've always emphasized this, it's really, really difficult to win. And it's especially difficult to win when boom, snaps a point in time on the Megapod. Like last year, you just destroyed it. You did so well.
Yeah.
But you have to make five selections or three selections at one set point in time. You don't get to like cherry pick when news is breaking. And all of a sudden, that's why my friend the Hitman does so well. Like you can't just smoke dope all week and get who the Hitman's playing Friday night because you're like, well, wait a minute. He played -2 and the Lions -3. Well, yeah, you got to be engaged. You got to get it right when the news hits. Otherwise, I just don't think. I think no one's going to win laying -110, playing five NFL sides at one select point in time against market numbers.
Reject H3131 chimes in. He goes, how dare Fezzik say Kelly, a.k.a. Preston, isn't sharp. Twitter Fezzik popping up in real life on ANG. I'm trying to tame him. Okay, let's get to the good stuff here. You've been kind enough to come on and give a look ahead position every single week you've come on. Would you like to comment on last week's look ahead to this week first between the Steelers and the Jets?
Oh, gosh. It's like WrestleMania 3, you know, the Macho Man. What a disaster, you know.
Yeah.
Everything went wrong. Outside interference, you know, George the Animal steal from behind. All right. I gave out the Steelers minus one and I said, this makes no sense against the Jets. It's a terrible spot for the Jets. The Jets were playing on some other continent. Where was that? Australia? Week five?
I'm pretty sure it was not.
I think it was Europe.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then they think about the roller coaster. And they lose. They're down. And then they fire their coach. And then maybe they're up. And then they play the Bills and they're down. But it's Monday Night Football. But then they get the Hail Mary and they're up. But then, doink, they hit the kicks off the crossbar.
Exhausting.
Yes. Exhausting.
Yes.
All right. As opposed to the Steelers, we go out to Vegas and we crush the Raiders. And so I was like, the spot screams Pittsburgh, the power rating screams Pittsburgh. And then Davante Adams goes to the Jets. That's obviously going to help the Jets and makes them a better team. And he knows the system and he knows Rodgers. And boom. And now the Steelers are going with Russell Wilson at quarterback. And
what is that?
I'm going to show a little humility. I think maybe there are those who were aware that Davante Adams trade was coming. And I don't think anybody really, really thought Russell Wilson was going to be the starting quarterback. So there's been bad news for Pittsburgh. And that's going to happen when you play a minus one and now it's plus two. But I'm going to double down and now I'm going to tease Pittsburgh.
Oh, is that what you're doing?
Because I still, yeah. So that's okay. My teaser of the week. I'm going to play Pittsburgh from plus two up to plus eight with your Washington football team minus eight to minus two, because I still, power rating wise, I made some adjustments. I still can only get to pick them on this game, and I'm getting plus two up to plus eight in the teaser.
All right, the Steelers and the Commodores is your teaser of the week. By the way, let's rack that. We had humble Steve Fezzik there for a moment. Let's make sure we solidify that in history.
Oh, I'm wrong all the time. All the time. 46% of the time, oftentimes 47.5%.
All right, what's your look ahead for week eight, sir?
All right, so we're gonna set it up, and I'm going to say to bet it or go. This will be at DraftKings. All right, we're going to take Atlanta, Tampa Bay. The total is 48. Set up over on Atlanta, Tampa Bay. Go. We are betting over 48 Atlanta, Tampa Bay. This is a very simplistic handicap. Tampa Bay has an above average offense and a below average defense. Atlanta has an average defense and an above average offense that's really gelling now that Cousins, you know, looks to be fully back from his injury. Also, anyone paying any attention, the scoring is finally going up in the NFL, going up big time. The kickoff rules are helping. You start on the 30, you get two first downs, you can kick a field goal, right?
It's amazing.
It really is.
Yeah.
So the last 2 weeks, the average scoring has been right around 50 in both weeks. And here's a game that looks, I know I don't like division game overs, but you've got the offenses have the advantage. And you've got a total sub 50 at 48. So we're going to go over the 48. Bold prediction. I know I got the line move wrong on the Steelers. I'm sorry. The Davante Adams, me bad. I'm confident this one will indeed beat the closing number.
Okay. By the way, you have to let it breathe next time because people are landing on the show for the first time. So when you said go, they didn't know that there was a possibility that it could have been a cancel or an oppo.
That's an excellent point. You know, one thing I have noticed with Right Angle Sports is that when they go, they go faster than when they cancel. All right. I don't know if you noticed it. So if it's a go, it tends to go like after 10 seconds. And if it's a cancel or an oppo, they tend to wait like 15 seconds. So like after 12 seconds, I'm like, this one's a phony.
Oh, a little tell is what you're saying.
Yes.
Oh, okay. For those who are, you know, down with Right Angle Sports. Thank you, Steve. Appreciate it, man.
Appreciate it.
Steve Fezzik, always a entertaining and insightful two segments. Dr. Bob, the pioneer. On the other side, we'll talk some college football next right here on A Numbers Game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Hey, don't forget, top of the hour, it's Money Moves with Stormy Bonatoni. Not today, though. Stormy is doing her college football thing, so it's going to be Patrick Maher and Jeff Schwartz. Pardon me. Money Moves with Patrick and Jeff coming up at the top of the hour right after a numbers game, followed by Prop Points with John Hansen from 2 to 3 Eastern, then Make It Rain with Adam Shine from 3 to 4 right here at Visa, the Sports Betting Network. Our G-Bank best bets of the day. G-Bank, the official bank of VSiN. Before we get to Dr. Bob, man, they are plentiful on a Friday numbers game. First of all, in soccer, Paul Carr, Brentford, over a half a goal in the first half, plus 130 against Man U. Remember, Brentford with that big streak of four straight matches in which they have scored a goal within the first 90 seconds. So Paul is riffing off that. He's going Brentford over a half a goal in the first half at plus 130. Southampton over Leicester City. That also tomorrow in the Premier League from Paul Carr. And then on Sunday, he's taking the under in the Liverpool-Chelsea match, under 3.5 goals on Sunday in the Premier League. Jason Weingarten with the old Colombo bet on the way out. Evan Williams, defensive rookie of the year. It says 14-1 here. Was it 14-1? I thought he said 45-1. Shop around for the best Evan Williams defensive rookie of the year price that you can find. And then Chris Velika had a bevy of college football bets. He was on Charlotte plus 17, Ball State plus 26.5 in their game. He's on the Georgia-Texas over 57 in the marquee matchup this week in college football. And then he's taking the points with the Cornhuskers of Nebraska plus 6.5 against Indiana. That's the game that Big Noon Saturday is at. He is taking the Huskers plus the points. And then Steve Fezzik, last segment. He gave us a few. He gave us the Eagles this weekend, minus 3 at the New York Giants. He has a teaser, the Washington football team down to 2 against Charlotte. Against Carolina, where I got Charlotte from, I have no idea. And then the Steelers, the other leg there, plus 8 in their game against the Jets. So the Commodores and Steelers is a two-leg, six-point teaser from Fezzik, in addition to his Eagles straight bet. And then the look-ahead for him, week 8, Falcons-Buccaneers over 48 next week in the National Football League. All of that is from GBank, the official bank of VSiN. All of our best bets brought to you by GBank. The GBank Visa Signature Card is your best bet, delivering 1% cashback rewards on eligible gaming transactions and 2% cashback rewards on all other eligible purchases. For more information, head to vsin.com/gbank. That's vsin.com/gbank. Subject to credit approval, terms and conditions apply. Ladies and gentlemen, he is a pioneer, but he prefers other descriptors besides pioneer. Pioneer makes him feel old, he says, but he is one of the greats, one of the ones who used predictive models to predict the outcomes of sporting events in the age when no one else was doing it. It's the great Dr. Bob, Bob Stoll. You can follow him on Twitter at drbobsports, of course, at drbobsports.com. Bob joins us courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. How you doing, Bob?
I'm all right. Lots of bets this week, Gil. We're opening it up.
Oh, we are? On the show, are we opening it up?
No, just two on the show, but just in general. The leans, as you know, on my site, which are free on the college football free analysis page, were 13-4 last week. They're 53-35 on the season. I'm not betting enough games, Gil. So more best bets this week for clients. More. So
I'm going to get John Crass
up today.
John Crass, may he rest in peace, used to say that to you all the time. Bob, you need to play all your leans and your opinions. And you're he used to say that to you. Now, before we get into the two you want to share here, is that typical of every college football season around this time, or is that just a random thing?
No. Right around this time is when the model starts to really cook. And then even we ramp it up even more in starting week 10. That's been the best stretch from week 10 on. But, things start to ramp up around this time.
Hmm. Bob, are you eating a sandwich while we're doing this segment? I'm just curious.
No, just finished. I might have been cleaning my teeth with a toothpick while I was talking. But
okay, all right. Just
kidding. Why did you call me during my breakfast?
I'm sorry. Apologize for that. I hate when this segment sneaks up on you like it does. All right, let's begin. Shall we go to BYU first? Because we were talking about this game with Felika earlier. Jake Retzlaff and the BYU Cougars, 8.5, 9-point favorites here in this tilt against Oklahoma State. What do you got?
Well, here's the thing. Before the season, I don't know what the look-ahead line or what the game of the year line was on this game. I'm guessing it was around 17. Oklahoma State, let's put it this way: if Oklahoma State were at home against BYU, Oklahoma State before the season would have been about a 17-point favorite. And the only reason BYU was not a 17-point favorite is because they're BYU and they were expected not to be that good, where Oklahoma State was expected to be good. Now, I didn't think Oklahoma State would be particularly good, but and they haven't been. They started out with two wins against easy teams, and they had no business beating Arkansas. Now it's a complete fluke. They got out, gained over 200 yards, nearly 300 yards, and were dominated in yards per play against Arkansas. That was a totally lucky win. And since then, they've fallen off a cliff and lost three games in a row to decent teams. Now BYU 6-0, straight up 6-0 against the spread. It's not a fluke. I mean, there's nothing random about this. It's not turnovers or anything random. They beat ranked teams, SMU on the road. They beat Kansas State by 29 points. They beat Baylor and Arizona, who are better than average teams. I mean, they are just – BYU is just a good team, an average-ish offense, but a great defense. It's not a fluke. They're allowing like 51% completions and only like 10 yards per completion. Their pass defense is great. The run defense is better than average. It's kind of one of those things like if Oklahoma State were playing like BYU and BYU were playing like Oklahoma State, and this was Oklahoma State at home, then they'd be favored by 17. And the only reason it's not higher is because of the priors dragging this number down. But I think the priors were just wrong. BYU is a legitimately good team. Oklahoma State is not. And there are rumors that they're going to turn to Garrett Rangel as the starting quarterback. I mean, yes, please. I released this game, BYU, before any of that news came out. Rangel's completed 46% of his career passes, 171 passes, pretty good sample size, 45%, and he's 46% this year. I mean, that would be a huge downgrade if Rangel replaces Bowman in a desperate move by a desperate man trying to save a season which is going in the toilet. BYU should beat Oklahoma State by more than 10.
I love that. That was one of my favorite capsules of any game you've ever given. Rangel, yes, please. That's interesting about the priors, though, on BYU. This should be higher than that. So Bob is on BYU. 9 points, not nearly enough. Hosting Oklahoma State as BYU's undefeated season, Bob believes, will continue and continue with some margin here. All right, let's go to the ACC. Duke is 5-1. Florida State is 1-5. And yet the Blue Devils are only 3-point favorites. What gives?
Very suspicious. Once again, priors, right? I think everybody knows Florida State's not very good. The priors are still dragging their number higher than it should be in the market. I mean, they've only averaged 14.8 points in six games. Now they have a backup quarterback, Brock Glenn. It's not that DJU was lighting it up, but Brock Glenn is worse. And they only averaged, 4.2 yards per play last week against Clemson. And this is not a normal Clemson great defense. This is a Clemson defense that's just a little bit better than average, actually, if you look at all their games. So it's not like, Clemson's great and they were held down by a great defense. 4.2 yards per play against Clemson is not good. And I mentioned this before in my write-ups. All the quarterbacks at Florida State under Mike Norvell have been bad, except for Jordan Travis. All non-Jordan Travis quarterbacks under Norvell at Florida State have combined 547 combined pass plays, 4.6 yards per pass play. Ooh. That is miserable. Ooh. That's nearly 2 yards per pass play worse than an average quarterback. And that's five or six different quarterbacks combined. And guys that started ahead of Travis, who were considered better than him, 547 combined pass plays, 4.6 yards per pass. Glenn is worse than that, but I'll give him the benefit of the doubt and say he's going to be that level. And he's going against a Duke defense under Coach Manny Diaz, obviously a longtime great defensive coordinator who took over Duke this year. Duke had a great defense last year. And then Diaz comes in and maintains that. They've only allowed 4.6 yards per play against a schedule of teams that would average 5.8 against an average defense. Florida State can't run the ball. They're averaging just 3.6 yards per rushing play. And now you're putting Brock Glenn up against an elite pass defense that Duke has. Look at Duke's pass defensive numbers when you get a chance. I just don't see how Florida State's going to get to their average of 14.8 points. And Duke's offense is decent. They're mediocre. Florida State's defense is mediocre. So Duke should score enough points to win by more than 3, because I don't think Florida State's scoring more than 13.
All right. Big time conviction on both BYU and Duke in both of those games. Lines, Bob says, are influenced by priors. Real quick, and I got to have like a 20-second answer from you here. Fezzik and I were talking about this earlier. We're talking about how, you say the luck, the sort of Plinko results are often that they even out in handicapping. but we both contend they don't if you're good in a certain sport.
Right.
Don't you subscribe to that as someone who is expert in this?
Yeah, you're going to have more unlucky losses if you're on the right side more than not, just by definition.
Okay, there you go. Very succinct. Bob, thank you. Thank you for the play, sir.
All right, bud.
The great Dr. Bob. We interrupted his breakfast, for God's sake. Sorry about that. We've done all we can do. Money Moves is next. Patrick Maher and Jeff Schwartz. Enjoy from VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.